launching from an Etherport at RBN, cruising at light speed. Here's your host, Steve Starrs.
Welcome, everybody, to Lightspeed Times 2. I am Steve Starrs, back with you. I hope you had a very good Holy Week weekend. I don't like the term Easter. It's pagan. But then again, it doesn't align with the Passover celebration, which is really what it was all about. You know, the old story. Kind of good in some ways. I think it does it because there's the overtones, of course, with Jews not liking the idea that Christians are using their holiday for, you know, the purposes of explaining how they were involved in the crucifixion of Christ. Well, you know, I understand that, and I think maybe it's better that we have most of the Christian church, because people all over the world celebrate the Passover week, or if you call it Easter, at different times. The early Roman Catholic Church, and well, actually, it wasn't even the Roman Catholic Church at that point. It was about 120 A.D. They began to try to celebrate the holiday so that Sunday, or the first day of the week, was the day of resurrection. And with Passover, that's not going to happen because the date changes when it starts and stops every year based on the lunar calendar. Anyway, long story short is they ended up separating the two holidays very early, actually. We have a friend that works on a radio station that I listen to. Well, actually work on, too, is 1360 KHNC AM. And, you know, he does a show. His name is Cheeto Ed. And that's because he buys packs of Cheetos, big boxes of them, and sells them to people in New York City when he ships them, because they can buy them cheaper there from him, shipped in from out of state, than they can in their own location. He does the same thing with Coca-Cola and Pepsi and a lot of other things as well that he can buy and ship in. He's making some pretty good money, and he just enjoys what he does, and he's a pretty successful fellow. But anyway, he has a show on Saturdays, and he had a really great theologian. I can't remember the guy's name. You can just check it out if you want to. The podcast is Cheeto Ed. I think you can find him up there, 1360KHZ.com. Look at for, you know, podcasts, and you can hear the talk about this fellow explained the separation of the holidays and when it began, really, with in the early days of around Polycarp. And but the Greek Orthodox still celebrate in coordination with the Passover week, so their celebration of Holy Week is a little different. But I went through all that just to say that I wish you, hope you had a good week. We did, I think, in all the way it turned out. In spite of everything that was happening, we had a really holy time, in my opinion. And there was a great service on yesterday that we had with, we watched it from home, a pastor who had gone all the way to Miramar for a big convention. You know, Miramar's been through a real struggle, the whole Burma. And they recently regained their freedom again. And there was an amazing story about one of the lady leaders that was there who had died for 45 minutes. She had a bad case of something related to COVID, I guess. Passed away after they tried to keep her alive. And she came back and told these amazing stories. And it was something else to hear those folks there. Because, you know, if you go all over the world, as I've said, about people who are believers all over the world, you're going to find the same people in a lot of ways. Some of them are from Miramar, some of them are from South Korea, some of them are from Japan, some from Indonesia, Philippines. I mean, and it's the same people that you can really meet with. A lot of times it's just a great fellowship with people around the world, and we happen to be from the United States or whatever, but you meet the same people sometimes, and they're under persecution in certain places, or they've recently been liberated, or they have a lot going on there. I'm quite surprised at what's happening with a lot of the Christian community all over the world. And these aren't people necessarily Catholic, of course. Some may have a little Catholic influence and all that. But anyhow, it was a pretty interesting conversation and talk that I heard yesterday, and quite invigorating, you know. I was going to say this, that, you know, I wanted to say this, and maybe I'm getting a little out on an edge here. But, I mean, do you know who Jesus is the question? You know, I mean, Jesus, we call him Jesus. His name is Yeshua, or Joshua in the Hebrew, Jesus, if you speak Spanish. We know who he was, at least, as the same person that is talked about in the New Testament. Do you know who he is and who he was? Well, the answer is he's the great I am, meaning I am the Lord, the owner, the keeper of all this. If you can kind of picture what happened here on planet Earth, you know, things got out of control quite a bit. And everybody had a problem with the way it went, of course. And he decided that he would come here and pay the whole tab for all the trouble. He said, I'm going to pick up the whole tab. Imagine if you were owned a restaurant or something like that. And, you know, you had this restaurant, and of course it was overrun. They had all kinds of people getting sick. There was theft. There was problems. People getting killed, shot outside. You know, we can talk a little bit about that. But, you know, I mean, you had all kinds of things that had gone wrong there. And the owner came in one day, and he said, I'm going to pay for all the damages. I'm going to pay for everything because I am the owner. When he stepped into this situation, came down into Earth, he was in complete charge. You know, some people think that, you know, Jesus was arrested and hassled. No, no. He was in the garden praying, and about 600 people showed up to arrest him. That's how many people, I understand. There's different estimates, of course. But they all came in with swords and everything like that. And they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? After, you know, Judas had exposed him by kissing him. And he said, I am. And about 600 of them went right down, you know. You know, then they kind of got up and dusted themselves up, and they said, we're here to, you know, arrest you. He said, okay, all right, but these are going to go free, the ones that I'm with, okay? That's the way it's going to work. Peter took out his sword and chopped off the ear of the high priest's servant, Malachi, I guess, Malachus was his name, I think, chopped his ear off. You know, I mean, tried to hit him in the head, but the guy moved enough that he just lost his ear, and Jesus said, wait a minute, picked up the ear, put it back on, healed it right there, and then said, okay, where were we? Take two. You're going to arrest me, right? That's what you're going to do? I mean, this here, Pilate thought he was a big shot. You know, he was telling Jesus that, you know, don't you know I have the power to release you? I would like to get you off this charge. I mean, I don't see any reason. I don't find any crime. You've already been scourged and beat up or hassled. I don't see any reason to press this any further. And Jesus told him, he said, you can't do anything about it, Pilate, because I'm picking up the charge. I'm taking all the guilt, all the damage, all of everything that's come down that I didn't cause on this creation, and I'm getting rid of it. I'm taking it out of the picture. I am the owner. You know what I mean? That was the way it was. He was in charge the whole time, friends. He wasn't pushed around. He wasn't hassled. He wasn't beat up. He wasn't small. He says, I'm going to take this whole thing before the court of heaven. I'm coming away with the deed on everything here. I am the owner. You know, some people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Are you kidding me? Have you read the scriptures? You know, the high priest asked him. See, the Jews know that there is a God in the flesh. He's called Adonai, not the Father, but God in the flesh. They know that. They knew that. They asked, are you the Son of the Most High? And he said, I am. And you shall see me coming with the clouds of glory. And that's when the high priest ripped his garment and said, you've heard it's blasphemy. We have no need for another trial. We're going to crucify this man. He claims to be the Son of God. He could have gotten off and walked right out of there if he lied. But he doesn't lie. He has no need to lie. He's not going to lie. He's going to face it straight down. That's what he did. You know, so people don't understand who the great I am is, you know, but he said before Abraham was, I am. And he was. He met with Abraham on the plains of Mamre. If you read that, right before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, there were three men that came across the desert. Abraham saw them coming. Two of them were angels, and one of them was the Lord incarnate in the flesh before he was born, many years before even Isaac was born. Okay, so the bottom line is, you know, if you don't know much about the whole situation with Holy Week and everything that went down, you know, I hope that you will learn something kind of from what I'm talking about, because this is what it's all about. You know, we're talking about the owner. The owner is picking up the tab for you. This is your damage, your problem, everything that you did. He's going to pay for it all. He already has. He owns it all. He's going to fix it. He said, I'm going to be inside this contraption that everybody has blamed me for, that they ruined, and I'm going to pay the whole tab on it. That's what he did for us. So, you know, that's what we celebrate. You know, and he rose from the dead on the third day and appeared unto many. He's coming again, of course. If you don't know who he is, you know, I would take a little time and take a look at it. You know, read the prophecies. They bear witness of him. There are 360 prophecies in there. The most advanced science that we have, ladies and gentlemen, is the prophetic record. There is nothing stronger. I don't care if it's E equals MC squared, Newton's laws of physics and gravity. I don't care. You know what I mean? Everything can tell you a little bit about creation, microbiology. Look at all the lies in that. You know, you have all these people who can tell you about, you know, the creation, but they can't tell you why. But he answers that with one word. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Right there. That's not just what happens. It's why it's happening right there. And if you look at the prophetic record, you can see, obviously, wow, he knew the beginning from the he knew the end from the beginning. And he lays it out pretty cleanly. Most people have no idea. There are over 360 prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament that you can verify for yourself. Most Christians can't even name five of them and five of their references. Start with Isaiah 53. Read Psalm 22. You know, read all the way through. Look at the meeting that Jesus had with Abraham back in the book of Genesis. I think it's chapter 18. It's all full of that information, and you can see it for yourself. Sorry about getting up on my soapbox. Some of you I know are going to applaud. Some are going to say, oh, God. But I really encourage you to get to know the owner. You know what I mean? Get to know the owner. He's got your way out. You know, he's paid your ticket. You know, and he's only asking, come along, let me get you out of this mess. I'm fixing everything here. The renovation is coming, friends. It's coming, and you can be a part of it. So that's what... To me, you know, this celebration, call it Easter, the pagan name, or the Passover, the Lord's Passover. I just like Holy Week best. But if you had a good one, I hope that's what you came away with. I hope you felt refreshed. I hope you're ready. I mean, I think we're going to have some, well, we're having springtime. And this is what I'm looking forward to. And I'm glad that, you know, I'm here today. A lot of things to talk about. Okay, yes, bad news now. I hope, hopefully you're prepared for a little of that right now, having some hope, having some you know, some encouragement right now. You hear about probably what happened in Louisville, Kentucky. Five dead and six injured. A shooter came in, a guy that was apparently disturbed, Connor Sturgeon, MS. He sent some information out there. He posted his own protests and things like that. Louisville mass shooter reportedly shared this message to his local media. He said, they won't listen to words of protests. Let's see if they will hear this. The guy went off the edge. Killed a lot of people, another mass shooting. Of course, they're going to blame guns, and it has nothing to do with the psychological breakdown or whatever that happened with this guy. We'll be following that. But, you know, the story that I really wanted to get into, and of course now it's going to get pretty intense, if you're from the Austin area, and of course you know this is where RBN originates, the awful story of the conviction of this fellow who was stopped in this BLM riot there. And one of these BLM masked people raised a AK-47 and was pointing it in his direction. And this man was a former veteran, had a pistol, and shot him dead. And now he's being convicted. I would urge you to contact Lloyd Doggett. I've got his phone number right here. He's your congressman. And by the way, you can, if you live in Alaska, you can call Lloyd Doggett. He has to respond to you because he is a U.S. Representative, a congressman. His phone number is area code 512-916-5921. You can go to his website and find it. That's his Washington office, 512-916-5921. This person who was just convicted, and I had the story up here. I'll have the details for you in a minute. It was surprising. It was all over the news yesterday. It's kind of disappeared today. But the fellow who was found guilty should be pardoned. And you can also call, I think, Texas Governor Abbott and tell him this man should be pardoned from this crime because this court was controlled by Soros, run by him, trying to make law-abiding citizens and their self-defense capital offenses, friends. We've seen this before. Look at the whole, Rittenhouse story, the whole thing that happened there. And so, once again, this man should be pardoned. I think he's been through enough. He did not try to run anybody over. There were a whole, you can see the video, there were a whole lot of these protesters that blocked his way. And he's just sitting there waiting to, okay, you've got your protest, I get it, let me go, I understand, you know. No, they were really hassling. They're on the streets hassling people. Look at all the carjackings we've had recently, people breaking into cars, and that number's been going way up. I don't know, I was looking for statistics on it, but I know there's a lot of them. But look at all the carjackings that are happening. People are being violently pulled out of their cars by thugs. and the cars were taken off. I think there's over 1,000, something like that, in Chicago alone already. I mean, this is happening all the time. Well, these people are out there, and here's this kid, and he's, you know, he's got this AK-47. You know, he's a part of Antifa, and he's, or BLM, whoever you want to call it, the protesters, and he points his gun at this guy in his car. Now, this guy is, I presume, a vet, you know, and he knows an AK-47 pointed at him is going to put him into a quick reaction. He pulled out his pistol and shot this guy, and he died. He didn't leave the scene. He called 911, and unfortunately, this young person, who was too bad for him, ended up dying, and now they're convicting this guy in his car. Let me get that story up here. I'll probably do it during the break if I can find it. I can't believe it was all over the news yesterday, and when I had it earlier, I wanted to get his name. But it's an incredible, incredible miscarriage of justice, and it's being carried out by, again, another one of these Soros courts. We've seen this before in Round Rock, but it's there in Austin. And friends, we ought to be calling. We ought to be on the phone. We ought to be demanding a pardon for this man right away, you know, immediately, because all of us are facing these kinds of thugs out there, and we're not the criminals. You know, we had a group of these people out where I am in Colorado. They were in Fort Collins, not too far from where I live. And they kind of started roughing up a neighborhood or coming out. They were having a birthday party in a neighborhood on a Saturday or something like that. And all the people came out of their houses and said, get out of here, you know. And they were resisting and causing all kinds of problems. They got beat their hell beat out of them by the neighbors. You know what I mean? And they got ran out. And the sheriff actually came to the aid of the people living there and said, we're not going to have people coming to your neighborhood and causing all this kind of trouble. There's absolutely no need for it. In this case, law enforcement did a good job. And they ran them right out, man. I mean, it was kind of funny, but it was kind of ugly, too. They really ran this group out of their neighborhood. I'm telling you, I don't think we need to be under the fear of these people out there. And whether it's Kyle Rittenhouse or whether it is this case here down in Austin, Texas, we need to be standing our ground to defend ourselves from all of these enemies and people like that who want to come in and raise a fuss over the George Floyd situation. Yeah, in Austin, Texas, right? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's going on. We got some maniacs out there that are loose, and they need to be hauled in. So my opinion, of course, is that and pertains to it. You would here's the story here. Army sergeant found guilty of murder for shooting AK-47 touting BLM protester in self-defense. Army Sergeant Daniel Perry was found guilty of murder on Friday after being indicted by a Soros-funded Travis County District Attorney Jose Garza for fatally shooting AK-47 toting Black Lives Matter protester Garrett Foster during the George Floyd riots of 2020. Well, you hear the whole story. According to KVUE legal analyst, despite most experts believing Perry would not be found guilty, he seemed to have been found guilty because he made some posts on social media talking about defending one's own self against BLM rioters, and it's got some of his posts. He wrote, send them to Texas. We'll show them why they don't mess with Texas. He also said some other things on there, but, you know, obviously this guy was not inclined to want to have to kill anybody unless he was provoked. And you don't provoke an army vet like that. You don't do that. You don't walk around with a gun and point it at somebody because you want to make a point because George Floyd died someplace. George Floyd was an idiot, friends. I'm sorry. You know, I have no sympathy for that situation. I really don't. And I'll tell you the reason why. You know, the police should have just left him in the car and gotten him to the hospital. He was sick. He needed help. And instead, they let him out. And then the whole ruckus went down because I think it was excited delirium syndrome, something that some cops have been trained to look for. He was on methamphetamine and enough fentanyl to kill three people. They were trying to help the guy. The ambulances missed the calls twice. They were only six blocks away. Finally showed up. Well, they hung it up on the police. Stay with us. Be right back.
Orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and woke up.
stay strong, truth tellers. Truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong.
You're listening to RBN, in defense of the Republic.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
All right, we're back here on Lightspeed, and Steve Starr is here with you on a Monday, and I am glad to be here. I hope you're doing well. I mean, we are doing the best we can to here at RBN to get you the best information. Of course, obviously, you know, I think people should call Governor Abbott and demand a pardon immediately for this fellow. And his name, of course, was I had his name right here a minute ago. You know, I keep moving the story back around here. Daniel Perry. Daniel Perry. And he was the person who I believe was intimidated, essentially, by a crowd. They stopped his car. He waited for quite a while for them to kind of settle down. Yeah, make your point. I get it. But then this kid, after the hearing testimony from dozens of witnesses, the Travis County jury heard closing statements from both the defense and prosecution on Thursday in the case against Daniel Perry, who shot and killed Garrett Foster in the July 2020 demonstrations, I'll call them riots. Following 17 hours of deliberation, the jury found Perry guilty of murder in connection with Foster's death. After the verdict was read, Foster's parents, Whitney Mitchell, and several of Foster's friends broke down in tears. Daniel Perry also lost his composure. Perry was immediately handcuffed and taken into custody by deputies. The jury found Perry not guilty of aggravated assault. Really? And the other charge he faced. Perry claims Foster raised his weapon, according to Perry, to shoot him. Perry called 911, but Foster did not survive. During the trial, multiple witnesses came forth to discuss the demeanor Perry held during the encounter with Foster and following the shooting, as well as the energy of protesters and how Foster was holding his gun. In other words, he was pointing his AK-47 at him. Among those who testified were fellow protesters, a citizen journalist, crime scene specialist, a firearms examiner, and medical examiner who performed Foster's autopsy, among others. The jury has also shown videos and photos, and the state shared social media posts to back up their claim that Perry had threatened protesters in the past. Self-defense is being outlawed by a Soros-funded prosecutor throughout, and all of them, prosecutors around the country, that is. Perry's posts are irrelevant when you look at the facts of this case. Perry had his car surrounded by armed protesters who threatened his life. Now, that's the problem. If you want to protest, protest, but don't mess with people. Make your point peacefully. You don't carry around a gun pointed at people and expect that you're going to intimidate. That's what these people want to do. I think Foster was guilty of being a stupid kid, to be really honest with you, and that's what will happen. But, you know, what am I to say except for, you know, this is how we have to handle this stuff. We have to handle it properly. Okay, I think we have one call from David in Massachusetts. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Steve. I hope you had a happy Jesus yesterday.
I did.
Yeah, when all these morons wish me a happy Easter, I say to them, hey, if you don't mind, if you'll indulge me a little bit, if you don't mind, if you're okay with this, I prefer to have a happy Jesus. You go ahead and have a happy Easter if you want, but I'm going to have a happy Jesus.
Right.
And usually, you know, they look all googly eyes. They don't know whether they go to the bathroom or go blind. But sometimes I explain to them if a real person that actually wants to know more why I would have that stance. You know, I explain to them how Easter was the pagan fertility goddess of the East. She's associated with she's associated with Isis and Ishtar, and she was up in the Scandinavian countries, in Germany and the Scandinavia. It was spelled O-E-S-T-R-E, but it was pronounced Easter. And so anyways, God's not pleased with this happy Easter stuff. The whole reason Jesus came to this planet was to do away. The pagans always had a goddess instead of a god. If you study pre-Christian history, every civilization had a goddess, not a god. The top god was a goddess. God was always a woman. And Jesus came, it was revolutionary. He changed all that, and with his patriarchal God, referring to God as Father. But now the Roman Catholics have given God a sex change, and it's all about Mary, and they've turned Mary into a goddess. And you'll hear these Catholics, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, but you'll never, ever, ever hear them say, Hail Jesus. Yeah. So
it's
anyway,
kind of it's confused, that's for sure. You know, but you look at what I would call the mystery, the image of Mystery Babylon. You see it in the United States. I don't believe the U.S. is Mystery Babylon, friends, but we are certainly in bed with this system. Our kings are. The District of Columbia. Where the hell is Columbia? Look into Columbia or Libertarius. I mean, look at all these female images, like you said, David, that have come in. And I'm not against, holding ladies up high. I'm just saying that, you know, what we're being indoctrinated into is this fertility cult, or very pagan fertility cult, with these images of women, Liberty and Columbia, and, you know, all these different things that you see out there are not at all related to what we would hold to as a scriptural foundation, right? You agree with that, I think, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. I really enjoyed your opening remarks. There's so much to talk about, but here's something I think that will bless you, Steve. Jump into another thought here now. Do you know what? In biblical times, there was many occupations. You know, there was fishermen, and there was farmers, and there was shepherds, and Paul was a tent maker, and so on. But Jesus, of course, was a carpenter. And other than his father, Joseph, Jesus was the only carpenter. Everybody else was a farmer or a shepherd or a fisherman or a tender. You know, the different occupations and everything. Do you know why? Do you want to know why Jesus was a carpenter? Why it was God's will that Jesus be a carpenter, Steve?
No, I don't guess so, unless you have to take some wood and do something with it or build something, I suppose, right?
Yeah, well, I hope this blesses you. Jesus, what I'm going to say now, Jesus, although he was divine, he was still fully human. That's correct theology. He was fully divine, but he was also fully human. Well, Jesus had the same inclinations as other young men. He appreciated a pretty young lady, a beautiful, you know, and I'm not talking about cosmeticalists, but a beautiful female soul. And his mind would wander, boy, why can't I be like the other lads? And why can't I court a beautiful young lady and, you know, and get married and have a family? But by being a carpenter, Steve, he never lost sight of his final destination. From the very beginning, he knew what his destination was, to be the Passover lamb up on Calvary. Right. And by constantly, on a daily basis, his whole life, dealing with hammers, nails, and wood. Hammers, not lions and tigers and bears, but hammers, nails, and wood. Hammers, nails, and wood. Hammers, and that that constantly reminded him of his final destination up there on the top of Mount Calvary when they hammered those nails into him, into that wooden cross. And that's why Jesus was a carpenter.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, he kept his focus on that cross, what he was doing with the wood. It was going to go all the way. Hey, thanks so much, David. We got a break coming up. I don't know if we're going to get to it or not. I think it looks like the break is going to be held back. Let's go to Ryan. Thanks, David. Ryan. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great today. Good. You guys are talking Jesus. Here's my take on it. Well, the great I am, I forgot who asked him in Genesis 3:15 somewhere. He asked him, what is your name? I need to tell my people or tell the people back there. He says, I am. Tell them that I am Yahweh. That is my name. Let my names be known throughout the land. His name is Yahweh, or if you want to call it Jehovah or Java. His name is an I am. He was given the description of what it was. Like he went into the dictionary. Well, what is Yahweh? He is the great I am. But then, okay, I'll let it go at that one, and then you can tell me. But then I got another one. Jesus didn't say to celebrate his rising or his birth. He said, celebrate my death. He died for our sins. He did, that's what he did. So what I do sometimes, I go to different churches. I go to the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, and I'm going to call it Good Friday, but their Good Friday was Tuesday this past time because of how they do the moon and the day ends at sundown. I forget how it goes. But right. They celebrate his death. But if you go to this Baptist church down the street from me, I went to theirs also, which was on Friday, and he's trying to get everybody to cry that he was killed. But he said to celebrate his death. And then here's the other thing. As I read the Bible, and I got 20 different Bibles, so I go through all of them trying to see what's right and what's wrong, or just try to get to the best of my ability, I try to figure this out. And, you know, Jesus or Yeshua or Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus was a great God and never said he was an almighty God. He said he was a mighty God. Yahweh, our father, his father, was the almighty God or is the almighty God. Jesus was a God, but he wasn't the almighty God, our father in heaven, because he says, I will be sitting on the right-hand side of my father. So when someone says he is the God, or Yahweh, but then here's the last thing I let hang up, and then I want to listen to what you think of everything I said. The Bible, you can go to any Bible almost, except the newer ones, the highest place. His name was in the Bible some 7,200 times in the Old Testament. And then when he read scripture from the Old Testament, he said his father's name more than a few times in the New Testament. But for some reason, somebody decided to hide his name, so we don't know what it is, but people found it, put it back in like they should. But when I say they try to hide his name, I remember my father he had a dispute with our neighbor. And he says, I don't want to hear that guy's name in my house ever. Well, somebody made sure they took our Father in Heaven's name out of the Bible. So we think Jesus is God because we don't know that God has a name called Yahweh or Jehovah or Yehovah. I mean, it's pretty different languages or how everybody thinks they can do it, the YHVH or however you want to do it.
Yahweh.
But with that, I'll let you go. Bye. I want to hear all your comeback on it. Bye.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, you know, there have been a lot of people asking that question. What is the name of the Father, the full name and proper pronunciation of the Father? Well, we know most of them go by Yahweh or Yehovah. There are a number of different vowels missing from the, Y-W-H-W. abbreviation, and because that is because in the Hebrew there are no vowels that are used in that way. And so, as you know, it's been said that God removed his actual name and pronunciation. I don't know that that is true. Maybe we know it and don't quite grasp it at times, because his name was so profaned by so many of us on earth. It was something he wanted to eliminate as a possibility, so he removed his actual name. That is something I have heard talked about recently, and I think there might be some truth to it. They even reference scripture. So it is a possibility that we don't actually know the full complete pronunciation of the name, and that's the way we're going to run with it, I guess. But we do know that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the name Adonai or Adonaya that you see that is used quite frequently in the Old Testament for the Lord with a capital L, little O-R-D. The Lord said unto my Lord, the Lord God, Yahweh, or if you like, or the Most High, the Father, said unto the Son, Adonai, sit at thy right. You will sit at my right hand, and I'll make your enemies the footstool. You can read that. I think it's Psalm 110, isn't it? And it explains what will happen there in terms of the progression of this kingdom. So God made man in his own image, and our image, of course, is the symbol of what Jesus took upon himself, Yeshua, if you like, Yeshua, Joshua took upon himself, this man from Nazareth. He became one of us. He wanted to be with his people. He wanted to go through everything you're going through. He wanted to know your feelings and be a part of what your life is all about. And he was here to pay the whole price. And no one was going to stop him. You know, there are a lot of people he could have called 10,000 angels if he wanted to. And he could have just walked right out of that garden. When he answered those people and they said, are you Jesus? And he said, I am. They fell down like a huge hurricane wind hit them immediately. So, you know, it wasn't like he was weak. You see, this is the thing about Muslims. They don't believe Jesus died, you know, or Jesus the Messiah, or the Jesus that we believe in. If you read their own scriptures from the Quran, they say he didn't die. Someone else that looked like him did died on the cross. I mean, and I look him in the eye and say, do you know who he is? Do you understand who the Son of God is? Well, the Bible tells you that anybody who denies the Son denies the Father. You know, if they don't understand the Son, they'll never get the Father, is basically what it's saying. It's kind of a very intensive ownership copyright statement, isn't it? But he's not playing around. You know, come on, he's telling you the truth. And people want to keep inventing things. Hey, we got time for Francis in North Carolina. Let's see if we can get to her real quick. Francis, are you there?
Hey, young man, how you doing?
Good, thank you. I like that definition, young man. You know, my wife, yeah, my wife uses that. She works at an irrigation, Valley Irrigation Center. When these old farmers come in, she says, how are you, young man? Those farmers are, you know what I mean? They grumble, I don't want to hear that, you know, come on, I got enough problem, you know. But they have to smile, too, so I like that. How you doing?
There you go. That was the main part, is getting a smile out of the person so they're not so grumpy looking.
Yeah.
But anyway, aside from that, I'm finding this whole commentary quite fascinating as far as Joshua ben Joseph is concerned. And what I find even more fascinating is that people disagree, even in the Christian space, regardless of what tradition there are or flavors of Christianity there are, about how he's named and so forth and so on, where he came from, what he did, or what he came here for and so forth, ad nauseam. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, how could you say that? Excuse me, I've been around for a number of decades. I've heard a lot of stuff in my time. But what it comes down to is this. You know, it was probably, he knew he had to come here as a dude.
Yeah.
Because women at that time were frowned upon. Yeah. They were viewed as nothing more than a possession.
Yeah.
And that was it. Now, if he had come as a female and did this stuff, oh, he'd have been stoned right off the bat the moment that he was given birth or whatever.
Yeah.
So not that he didn't get stoned much later, but, you know, at least there was a delay. But I just find it fascinating. So as a result, whenever someone makes a comment to me about that, I said, you know, if you're going to talk about my brother in such an interesting fashion, I'll indulge you. But until then, Leave him alone. Enough of the negative commentary about that dude. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just my sentiment and everything after what I've seen in life. I mean, I've seen different ethnicities of cultures. I've seen different religious practices and so forth. And I keep hearing, especially when I come to the South, it's like, oh, there's only one religion here. Excuse me. That is not true. There's a lot of different ethnic backgrounds that practice different religious backgrounds, for that matter. It was alluded about that in one religious practice about they base it on the moon cycle. That's very true. For people that are Indian that practice that's Hindi or Hinduism, their religion is based on the moon cycles and so forth. And the reason why that is, a lot of people say, well, that's just paganism. Well, you can say that. That's true in contrast to Christianity. But, mind you, whenever a woman has her menstrual cycle, that's based on a lunar cycle.
Yeah.
Your growing cycles on the earth are in lunar cycles. Not that the sun doesn't have a bearing on that, but there's a lot of sympathy between the human person and the lunar cycles and when they're doing their growing in the fields and the gardening and so forth. So when people go to ignore those little practical points, they shortchange themselves wisdom-wise. And
yeah, you know.
I have to...
Go ahead.
Yep.
I was just going to go say something about the moon and a few things that will surprise you. Go ahead, though. I want to hear
that. Though.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, try me on what you think might surprise me.
Well, you know what I understand, and I've been doing some studies with the orbit of the moon, and the moon has almost been virtually locked as a timepiece in our solar system for years, that it only moves outside of its orbit about an inch and a half per year. Can you imagine that? And 3 centimeters,
yeah.
They say. So that means, like, the moon has not moved out of its orbit more than maybe 300 feet in the last 2,500 years. It's an incredible timepiece.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Now, people say, well, the weird thing about it, though, Francis, is that, you know, people will say that they see, you know, the moon can the new moon can appear 27 and a half days or it can appear 29 and a half days. But it all depends upon where we are in our the revolution of the Earth and the positioning of where it's changed from where the sun aspect is. But the moon is hardly moving at all. Now, using the moon as the measurement tool for the 70 heptads of Daniel that you'll find in chapter 9, it's called the 70 Weeks Prophecy. My good friend Gavin Finley took NASA's astropixels and their charts and figured the exact date of the announcement from Artaxerxes in 445 BC to the day of the Palm Sunday arrival when Jesus said, had you known this day, at exactly 173,880 days. It's the only formula that will fit. Now, what he was doing, though, this was based on Robert Anderson's work. He used a 360-day calendar, 12 months, 42 months, you know, 1260, you know, and that. So it was a 30 days, 360-day calendar, 12 lunar months. Now, that's not going to match with the actual lunar revolutions because it's going
to
change. But using that calendar, which was the biblical calendar, he came up with the 173,880 days, and it puts the crucifixion on the date of the arrival in Jerusalem for the day that he was recognized as Messiah at I think it's April 10th, 32 A.D. The Passover dinner would have been Wednesday night, and then the resurrection would have been April 17th, 32 A.D., using the exact numbers there. It fits perfectly. It's the only formula that will match the Nisan month of Nisan, remember, to month of Nisan, because there are actually a little bit of extra time. That's why they have the extra month of Adar. Jews use the extra month of Adar to make up the difference to get the, get it back in coordination with the Earth revolution. So I think the Earth is more inclined to change in its orbit or daily length and the times it spins than the moon is. It's been locked solid all this time. It's incredible. Anyway, that's what I was going to add.
It's an interesting sentiment for that matter. As far as the timing of days and so forth, he knew and understood and comprehended all this as far as to how the moon cycles go and so forth for each month or whatever while he was here, for that matter, even before he was here.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why. I, for a lot of people, they're like, how could she say that? How, that's blasphemy or whatever. But quite frankly, I view him as a being from the stars, a star being. Even though he took on human form, I mean, let's get realistic. To me, he was a major magician, shall we say, creating, making wine out of water, raising Lazarus and so forth. I mean, basically, he was doing things that at this same time people would consider to be a wizard or a I'm really going to skirt the issue now and probably have a whole uproar on your hands. But in some sectors of society, he'd be viewed as a witch.
Well, in those days, they thought some of the things he was doing were of the works of Beelzebub. He was accused of that.
Yeah.
But you got to understand that the word of God is a little different when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Word of God. And
that's
if you look at the first chapter of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light. Look how many times God said. So the way his power works is through the authority of the word itself. If he wants to change water into wine, all he has to do is say, be wine. If he wants to he wants to create new eyes for a man who's been blind all of his life. All he needs to do is change that substance. He can actually formulate matter or deformulate matter. That's why he's saying heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So in other words, everything here is a compilation of his ability to have the spirit, which is kind of like you might call it the static electricity or the background microwave, whatever terminology you want, that can actually formulate whatever is there. He can turn, he can actually manufacture bread or turn stones into bread, if you like. He could do any of these kinds of things he needed to as the word, but he never walked outside his father's commandment. There were times when he wouldn't do miracles in certain places. He went to Chorazin and Capernaum, and he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, wait a minute. He could not. He was not allowed. God doesn't do miracles around unbelievers. Why is that? Because it makes them worse. They don't like that. Look at how angry they got when he raised Lazarus from the dead.
It's interesting you said, because quite frankly, if it would make them more negative in their train of thought, eventually they have to wake up and snap out of their stupor, which they apparently at that point in time in human history were not inclined to do. Besides, I mean, I could go down a whole rabbit tunnel with you about how all this came about to start with, to begin with, because they were viewed as being very primitive at that time compared to today's standards.
Yeah.
But given where they had been to start with and ended up where they are, that's a whole other rabbit trail. So aside from that, I now have to come up with another line other than using lime, coconut, and pineapple macaroni because it's been adulterated now.
We're looking at that too. We're looking at, you know, I didn't get a chance to get into all the vaccine news and things that are happening.
A lot of things
are happening, but we'll get into that. I'm going to sit in for Steve tonight on the National Intel Report again, and I may have a guest that I'm lining up. Good friend of mine who's got so much expertise. I just wish I could get him on. He's busy. I didn't have enough time. It was too short a notice to really lock him in. But we'll see if I can get a guest on. If not, I'll be back. We'll continue these conversations. I know that Mike Rivera will be doing a lot.
Well, it continues to be recovery to Steve and his wife,
yes,
too, as well.
Right.
So.
Thank you so much, Francis. Yeah, we're still praying for him. Yeah.
Later.
We're going to see him back. And Steve is, I talked to him, I think it was Friday or Saturday, I think it was. And, yeah, he's doing a lot better. He's sounding good. I thought he could handle the show. But, no, he doesn't want to stretch it out too much and put too much stress. He's still on the mend. He may pop in tonight on National Intel Report. I hope he does and kind of tell you he's getting along well. But he sounds better, sounds good. And I'm still here hanging in there for him, and I'm always glad to do the National Intel Report. It's a great show, it really is, a great audience as well. But we're going to hang in there right here on Lightspeed, and we're going to keep going, friends. And we've got a few more minutes. Might have time to take another call. New topic coming up we'll get into, but we've got a break coming up. Stay with us. Be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Oh yeah. All right. We are back. We just got a few more minutes left. Got another call coming in. I'll get to Patrick real quick here. But just a quick note, great story that's up there from Pierre Corey and Brownstone Institute, April 10th. the three most important lessons from 3 years of hell, and there's Anthony Fauci. He says, I keep trying to break through the mass media censorship of critiques of Fauci and the health agencies for what they have wrought in the pandemic. I call it the plandemic. Anyway, back to the story. Along with my writing partner, we have been on a roll with publishing op-eds lately. We have now published on FoxNews.com, Daily Caller, a lot of other places, among other outlets. In this op-ed, I forced myself to imagine the reforms that a functioning public health agency would make in the wake of their 3 years of horrifically destructive policies. I know, and you know, this is not going to happen. But op-ed pages are not really the best forums for saying how I really feel, so I get my points across. I had to pretend that the institutions of society have the capacity to function in a reasonable manner towards the citizens they have failed. You be the judge as to how unrealistic my below wish list is, and he goes into it. Friends, you know, it's amazing. Fauci is actually predicting another plandemic, and he's going to get away with it if we let him. Anyhow, I got just enough time, I think. Let's see here, to get to Patrick. Is he still with us? Patrick, you got a voice up? Real quick here, we're going to finish up the show.
Yes, I'm here. I want to, real quickly, you know, it's like you were talking about Jesus, you know, performing miracles and only capable of doing in certain spots. And I'm a big fan of science.
Yeah.
And there is, to perform a miracle, it's possible, you know, transmutation of elements. And all animals and plants can do that. If it needs a mineral, it can create a mineral. It's a way of your mind can go into the actual nucleus of an atom and reorganize it. That's it in a crux to the matter. And that's known in science. You know, that's how it's all done. That's how Tesla technology works. It can penetrate the nucleus. Normally, in electricity, you only penetrate the electrons. That's electromagnetic, you know, theory. But whenever you start working with the nucleus, you know, the only longitudinal waves can do that, Tesla waves. Now, time travel is possible. Transmutation of elements is possible. Anti-gravity, the sky's the limit. I think that's about all I want to be a fit in there. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. Yeah, you know, I think there's some essence there. You know, in the beginning, he separated light from darkness. That's a positive and negative force right there. The first thing that was created was light. Let there be light. And the light shone through the darkness. The darkness didn't comprehend it. Light is energy. Light is movement. And we have, if you look at an atom, you have a positive and a negative charge. There's all this space in between things, like the distance between the sun and the earth. We revolve around them. There's a centrifugal force that would pull us away, but a gravitational force that holds us there. So there is this balance between light and darkness throughout the entire cosmos. And but being able to move inside that and reorganize matter to the point where you can change silicone rocks into carbon bread is what God can do. He can actually change the formulation of the atomic matter. This is why Satan wanted Jesus to do that when he tempted him. He wanted to say, let's see, if you're really God, you can turn these stones into bread. See, I want to see your ability to control and manipulate the functional matter of this substance right now. Jesus said, no way. The Father hasn't said so. Man shall not leave by bread alone, but by every word. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back later with National Intel. This is RBN. Thanks so much. Stay tuned for Mike Rivero. I want to thank all of you for joining me. I'll be back again next Monday in terrible hours for National Intel. Stay tuned and help us support the products.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.